In fact, you get your Bibles this morning, if you will, open to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Joshua, chapter 3. If you need a Bible, there's one on the side table. I encourage you to get one to study with us. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. Joshua 3 and 1 says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass, after 3 days, that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When you come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby you know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above. And they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap, very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zarethan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed, and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." May we again pray. Our Father in heaven, as we again approach thy throne of grace this morning, Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much that it continues to teach us about your presence among your people, your leadership and your guidance. I pray that we will have hearts to hear this morning what your word has to say to our hearts. I pray if there's one in our midst who's never trusted in your Son Jesus as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. And maybe there's other decisions that need to be made here. I pray that as your Spirit moves mightily among us, we will listen and obey. Guide my words. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. You know, throughout our Christian lives, there will be times when we are going to be faced with making a decision to take a step of faith. There are times that these times may include a call to surrender into the Lord's service. And that could be such as teaching a Sunday school class, singing a song in front of a congregation. That can be scary at times. Giving a devotional, sharing the gospel message with a lost soul, or discipling a babe in Christ. To take a step of faith could also mean making decisions about your family, about your home, such as applying for maybe a new job, starting a new business, buying a home, sending a child off to college, sending a child off to serve in the armed forces, or just living day by day. The bottom line, though, is that if you're willing to take a step of faith when the Lord calls you to do so, and as well when He leads you to do so, I ask you, are you willing to do so? Now, I ask that, pose that as the question. If the Lord calls you to take a step of faith, Are you willing to do so as He leads you to do so? A lot of souls in there, right? But too often we lack faith in the Lord because we don't take that step of faith, and we lose out on blessings that the Lord would otherwise afford us. We lose out on victories that would have been afforded us because we will not take a step of faith in the Lord. Now, I want to make sure we're very clear here. I'm not talking about blind faith. That's not what I'm talking about. Not blind faith. I'm talking about a faith that is a faith in the Lord. And I will tell you this, is that if the Lord asks you to take a step of faith, He will never ask you to do something that is outside His will. Too often we take blind faith steps and they're outside the will of God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if the Lord is leading you to take a step of faith, are you willing to do so? So this morning we're going to discuss the step of faith that the Israelites took and the results of their actions. And I pray then that we can internalize that and use this example in our own lives. So here in the first few verses of chapter 3, we see that Joshua is called of the Lord to do what? To go towards the River Jordan. And again, in verse 1 through 4 says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Came to pass after 3 days, the officers went through the host. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near it." So here if you were to go back in the beginning of the book of Joshua, and especially at the end of the previous book, Deuteronomy, you would find that Moses had passed away. He had died. And then we find that Joshua is to be his successor. If you go back and you study from the Exodus out of Egypt, because the people could have already have been in the promised land, but they chose to not take a step of faith because of their unwillingness to do so. Remember that Moses had sent out spies. He had sent out 12 spies in the land of Canaan. The 12 spies came back. 10 of them gave forth it was a glorious report. We've seen, in fact, all 12 of them said, the land flows with milk and honey. And they brought back pomegranates, they brought back grapes, they brought back all kinds of things. But yet they said this. The 10 said, but we, in their eyes, especially the sons of Anak, which were giant men, they said, in the sight of their eyes, we are as grasshoppers. But Joshua and Caleb said, but the Lord, if the Lord wants to give us this land, He will give us this land if we will take a step of faith. Well, they didn't want to listen to Joshua and Caleb. And as a result, they wandered 40 years in the wilderness, and everyone that was 20 years old and upward died in the wilderness, save basically 3 men. That was Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. Moses died, though, not being able to go into the land of Canaan. And he did so because of his disobedience unto the Lord. So now we have Joshua and Caleb. So Joshua is the successor. He had been groomed to take Moses' place. And now he's the one that is leading the people. The land has been divided. And they're on this side of Jordan. They need to go across Jordan in order to go and take the land that God has provided. As we saw there in verse 4, he says, now the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is going to go in front of you, but you are to keep yourself about 2,000 cubits. In other words, you're to keep yourself about a half a mile back from the Ark of the Covenant and from the priest, so that you can have full visibility as to what they're doing, but you are to follow them. And so what we find here is that they are to go forward. Now we'll tell you, as we were reading, at this time of the year, the time of harvest, the water there in the River Jordan overflowed its banks. Now, you all know that if you have a torrential downpour, and you've seen some of these creeks and these rivers as they rise and they get up to flood stage, the water is not just sitting at a high flood stage. The water is moving. The water is a torrent that's moving around. And at this time of harvest, that's what they saw. They saw that this water was overflowing its banks, And they knew that it's like, how are we going to get over to the other side of Jordan? But Joshua is going to lead them to go across this water. One of the things that we need to understand, the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was not God. The Ark of the Covenant was symbolic of God's presence. But the Ark of the Covenant was not God. Too many times, though, the Israelites, they interchanged the Ark of the Covenant to be God. And how did that work out for them? Well, not very well. The Ark of the Covenant was not God. I want to say this to you this morning. We always tell you, you know, study your Bible, hold on to it. But I want to tell you right now, the Bible is not God. This Bible is not God. It is His Word. His Word that He has given to us, it reminds us of His presence. The Ark of the Covenant reminded the people of the presence of God. The Bible reminds us of the presence of God. His Word is in the Bible. And His Word is the Bible. And so we find is that we are to be reminded of that. And if the Lord's Word, through the agency of the Holy Spirit, is leading us to take a step of faith, then the step of faith that we are to take must still be in accordance with the Word of God, His Word. Because if it's not, then it's outside His will and it will never work for us. It will never have the victory, will never have the blessings that God would have us to have. If we're going to take a step of faith, we have to have our eyes fixed on Christ. And I look at this is that what they were supposed to do were seeing the priest, seeing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, is that they were to fix their eyes, and where it went, they were to follow. That was to take the step of faith. That was to take the Lord's leadership. And in fact, for us today, if we look at, as an example, in Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are to be looking to Jesus. We are to look at Him because He is the author and finisher of our faith. And if we follow Him, then we will step in faith following where He leads. That's why He said in Matthew 4:19, He said this, and He said unto them, follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. Now I know you're going to say this, right? So, you're going to say this, but I can't see Jesus with my naked eye. I've never seen Him. So how do I know? You're telling me they were able to see the Ark of the Covenant. They were actually able to see it. They could walk behind it. They could see the priest that carried it. But how is it that I'm going to be able to follow after Jesus, though I cannot see Him, if I'm going to take the step of faith? Because we walk by faith and not by sight, is what the Scripture says. We walk by faith. We trust in the Lord. If you can trust in the Lord to save you, then you can trust the Lord to lead you in the path that He would have us to go. He also said this in John 10:27, my sheep hear My voice. How many of you have ever audibly heard Jesus speak to you? Well, you haven't heard Him speak. But how do I know He speaks to me? Because He speaks to me through His Spirit, through His Word, and guiding and directing me. He says, my sheep hear My voice, I know them, and they follow Me. But then at the same time, when we look at taking the step of faith, the Scriptures, you know, Peter wrote this in Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow, that ye should follow His steps. So again, how do I know what it means to follow His steps, to take a step of faith? Is that we open His Word, we study His Word, we study it independently, and we study it collectively. So we understand what it truly means to take a step of faith for the Lord. So go back to our text here, verse 7. Now verse 7, it says this. So they were to take the ark, as we read previous. And verse 7 says, the Lord said to Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the brink of the river of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. In other words, they had to have faith that what Joshua was saying was according to God's will. You're asking us to take the ark. Now think about this. This water is flowing and it's rushing. they have responsibility to properly handle the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. They have the responsibility to move it. We all know what happens when the wrong people grabbed it and moved it. They died. Remember when David wanted to move it? Uzziah did what? They put it on a milk cart, was being moved wrongly. It was started to fall off. He reached up his hand, and he died. You think about the Philistines when they had captured the Ark of the Covenant. What happened to the Philistines? They started getting tumors. They started getting hemorrhoids. They started getting all kinds of diseases and things, and people were dying off because they were not responsible for it. They shouldn't have had it. And they weren't handling it properly. And then it came back to the nation of Israel. My point is that they had responsibility. You got water flowing. We're responsible. And we're needing to take now this step of faith. You're asking us to step into this torrent of water? That's what you want us to do? They had to have faith that Joshua truly was the successor of Moses. They had to have faith that Joshua truly was the one that God was speaking to and was to lead them. They had to, if they're going to take the step of faith, they had to follow what Joshua was going to say. And I look at three people. Three groups of people, again, that out of here. Now I'm going to tell you right now about Joshua. So I'm going to start off, and we look at taking this step of faith. There's three distinct groups that were going to be required to take this step. First of all, Joshua. Joshua was one that had to learn that, you know, he was the successor of Moses. He had to learn that what it meant to now be a leader. It's one thing to be a follower. It's another thing to be a leader. But he also had to remember this. In fact, if you were to turn back to chapter 1. Chapter 1, God said this to Joshua. We'll start reading in verse 7. So in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, he says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Now that's number one. Follow what you were taught. Don't divert from it. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Stay true. If you're going to do what? Notice that conditional statement. If you're going to prosper, wherever soever thou goest, you must stay true to the Word of God. You must stay true to the teachings of Moses. Then he said, this book. Well, what book is it? Well, what book Moses has written? The Old Testament. Well, I should say it's the first five books. They didn't have the Old Testament in full. They had the first five books. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now notice again the conditional statement. If you follow the teachings of this book, meaning the first five books, if you follow them, you follow them, you read them, you observe them, you meditate upon them, then thou shalt have good success. They are to be what you make your way. And you know, when we look at the Word of God today, we have the completed Bible. We have the 66 books. There's applications out of the Old Testament that apply to us, as well as there are applications in the New Testament that apply to us today. Study them. Son, who show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's not just about discerning doctrine. What it is rightly dividing the word of truth means I study it, I understand what it says, I'm going to apply it, I'm going to walk by it. I realize that the word of God is good for every step of my life, and I accept it as is. I may not always understand it. There's a lot of things in the Bible we don't understand. But I will tell you, the more that you're into God's Word, the more that His Spirit will reveal what the Word of God has to say. It will help us to understand. And the steps that we take will not be in blind faith, but they will be steps of faith because we are following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 9 of that text goes on to say, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage." Now he's saying this again. In fact, he said that in verse 6, he said in verse 7, and now he's saying it in verse 9 again. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. If we as a congregation are going to go forward in the Lord, we must be strong. We must be of courage. And we must, by faith, take the steps that God would lead us to. So there was Joshua. Joshua had to learn what this meant personally. You and I as individuals, as children of God, have to learn what this means personally. And then we look at, in a broader perspective, look at the Levites. So the Levites were the second group. So the priest, again, not only had to trust in God, and as I mentioned before, they also had to trust in Joshua. That what Joshua would say to them, God would use Joshua to give them commandments to follow, just as God had used Moses to give them commandments to follow. Now, you know, one of the things I look at as a people, as a congregation, the pastor should be leading the congregation in the ways of the Lord. But what does that necessarily require? That the pastor is listening to what God has to say to his heart, leading him so that he may lead his people. The Levites, they were charged in disseminating what the Word of God had to say and to lead them in the ways of the Lord. But they also had to, again, have confidence that what Joshua was going to say was not going to be perilous to their life. He is asking them to come to the precipice of this overflowing banks of the Jordan River, and he's asking them to step into that water. And again, they had the ultimate responsibility. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was their responsibility. They had to carry it. They were not to jostle it around. They were to get it across the River Jordan. And remember what we read there in verse 13. And it shall come to pass, as back in our text, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. Think about that. Soon as you come to the precipice of that water and you go to put your soul on top of that water is going to go. That water is going to move. Not a one of you will be washed away. Nothing will be jostling around the Ark of the Covenant. But they had to have faith. They, in order to take this step of faith, to put your foot into that water. And again, you know, it's one thing that if you've ever been in water that's rushing, it's one thing to have both of your hands to where you're trying to steady yourself to step into that water. It's another thing to be holding the Ark of the Covenant of God by those staves that went through the eyelets and to hold that, and then you're asking me with no hands to trust in you to step forward and put my foot in to this water that's washing over its banks. That's what's being asked of them. Again, sometimes we look at things and going forward, it may look perilous in our eyes. But remember, it's the Lord that's going to part the water. It's the Lord that's going to get us to step out on faith. That's why I said sometimes when we're called upon to maybe even to teach a Sunday school class or to come and sing a song up here in front of people, is that there at times, is that, and you say, well, does that take a step of faith? Yes, it does. If we're going to honor and glorify God and He's given us the talents to do certain things and we're going to use it for Him, yes, sometimes it takes that step of faith to go in front of people, because in our own abilities and our own courageousness, we're very uncourageous. Very uncourageous. But the Lord says, follow me. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. But Lord, but Pastor, you don't understand. I can't speak very well. I don't have the words, just don't seem to flow. And then he asks us this question, who made your mouth? Who made your ears? Who made your hands? Who made your tongue? If I made all of these things, and that's one of the things I love about what it said here in the book of Joshua in verse 13, because it says, shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord, and then there's this statement, the Lord of all the earth? The one that's over all the earth, the one that is over everything, that's made everything, He's made us. If He is the one that's calling us to do something, it says He will give us everything that we need. You know, Moses, if you go back and study Moses, Moses lost a lot of blessings because he said, I cannot speak eloquently. They're not going to listen to me. And God was, the Lord was trying to work with him to get him to say, is that I will give you everything you need. But I can't speak. I can't speak. But with the Lord, you can speak. With the Lord. with His strength, His power. And you know what ended up happening? The Lord, He got upset with Moses because he said, I can't do it. And Aaron, his brother, came along. He says, okay, he'll speak for you. But you see, Moses lost some blessings because he wouldn't take the step of faith to do what God had called him to do. So we have Joshua has to have a step of faith here. We have the Levites. They had to have a step of faith. And thirdly, there were all the people. The people themselves, the Israelites. They would also not only have to trust God, but they also have to trust their leadership. Because they're going to be asked to step into that water. Now you've got to go back and recall this. Other than Joshua and Caleb, they were clearly ones that had full understanding of what happened there when the Lord parted the Red Sea. And these other people that had been 20 and less, 20 and down, they probably had small recollections. Now, you know, I mean, I'm sure that they had the wonderment of seeing it, and you probably had some people that were in their teens, but a lot of those people were very small. A lot of those people were very small that they really didn't understand what all happened during the time that the Lord parted the Red Sea so the Israelites could come out of Egypt. Some of these people were born over this 40-year period in the wilderness. They were born in the wilderness. They had not personally seen what God had done with the Red Sea. So in order for them to take the step of faith, they had to have faith in their leadership that they were not taking them to the brink of destruction in going into the river Jordan. So they had to follow by faith. They had to follow what the Lord was saying. In fact, in Hebrews 13 and 7, it says, remember them which have the rule over you. In other words, that lead you. Who have spoken to you, unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. I look at the Apostle Paul. On several different occasions, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, follow me. But he always qualified it. He said, follow me as long as I am following Christ. Follow me. Imitate me. Follow me. But only as long as I am following Christ myself. Those that have rule, the leadership, the pastoral leadership, the leaders of our Sunday school teachers, in their own right, are part of our leadership, whose faith follow. John writes in John 12 and 26, if any man serve me, this is the Lord speaking, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So, you know, it must have been very comforting and encouraging to Joshua when the spies had returned from searching out Jericho. In fact, to bring you up to speed as to what I'm saying here. If you go back and you study in Joshua chapter 2, Joshua had sent spies into Jericho. He had sent two spies out, and they came to this, they ended up at this woman who's called Rahab. They ended up at her house, and she happened to be a harlot. And she had a house on the side of the wall, of the walls around Jericho. They had come in, and she had hid them. She had hid them, and she made up a story. When they came to find out, it was said when the king of Jericho learned that these two spies had come in, they were concerned about the spies. They wanted to get the spies of the Israelites. And one of the things that you find, what ended up happening, is that when you look in chapter 2 and verse 10, Rahab is speaking to the spies and says this, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan. And these were the kings, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. So what do we find here? We find when this message came back, Joshua had sent out the two spies. They had gone into the land of Jericho. And as they were there, Rahab indicated to them, we know about your God. We know about how formidable you are, and when we heard that you were coming into our land, our hearts just sank. Now, the people heard this. The people had heard this as this was related to them about what had happened. And that 40 years ago, what had happened. Again, many of these people, or several of these people, many of them, we don't know how many, but many of them had been birthed during the wilderness journey. So this was, much of this might have been fresh to them, might have been new to them. So what we have here is that even though that, if you go back again, where Joshua and Caleb, they had said, we can take this land. The Lord is giving this land. In fact, in Numbers chapter 14, in verse 9, it says, this is what they brought back, and they said, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. In other words, take a step of faith in the Lord. But they would not. The people would not. And that's what it cost them 20 years or 40 years in the wilderness journey. And I will tell you this, to take a step of faith, sometimes groupthink is not good. And many times, the majority are wrong. If it's all that being done out of, well, we haven't done it that way before, Pastor. I don't know that we can do it that way, Pastor. I don't know we can go this direction, Pastor. It seems too murky. We don't have all the facts. We don't have all the numbers. How can we go forward in the Lord? But the Lord is telling us to go forward. We ought to go forward. We ought to go forward because the Lord has something good for us. He has blessings for us in front of us. And I will tell you, that's individually, that's families, and that's we as a congregation. But we have to learn to listen. And again, sometimes the majority gets it wrong because of this. And you say the majority. Yes. Look at the nation of Israel. How many times did God tell the nation of Israel to do something and they didn't want to do it God's way? But there was a small remnant that would do it God's way. That small remnant says, we're going to follow the Lord. We're not going to bow down. We're not going to go this direction or that direction. We're going to meditate upon God's Word. We're going to go forward in the Lord. And God bless the remnant. So that's what I'm saying. Sometimes, and even in churches, the majority get it wrong because they're not listening. They're only looking at the physical side of it. The physical side. And as a result, and I will tell you, serving the Lord, following the Lord, can get hard at times. But He will always do this. He will always supply all the grace you need to do what He's calling you to do. Now I will tell you right now, if He's not calling you to do it, He's not going to supply the grace for it. If you're doing it, it's of your own accord. But it's of Him. He will supply all the grace, all the strength, all the encouragement. He will say to you, just as He said to Joshua, be strong in the Lord, be strong and of good courage, that thou mayest do that which I'm calling you to do. Be strong in the Lord. Back in our text. So now we have here that we have the three group of people. We have Joshua, we have the priest, and we have the people. And verse 14 of our text goes on to say this. It says, in fact, I want to read verse 13 again. It says, it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it shall come to pass, when the people remove from their tents, verse 14, to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they bear the ark, and as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim. Notice they just put their foot in, just the sole of their foot went in. It says in the brim of the water, for all the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zarethan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed right over against Jordan. Now, what did the priests do? They stood in the middle. They went in the middle. It says, the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. So what do we find here? That taking the step of faith is going to lead to victory. It's going to lead to victory because all the barriers are going to be removed. You know, too often we hinder ourselves from taking a step of faith because all we can see are the barriers. In their path, all they saw was this water, this massive water. You know, there's been a lot of people, a lot of archaeologists, a lot of scientists, a lot of people that have studied that place, and they want to say that, well, they passed over the River Jordan in this place that was very rocky, or maybe very shallow and things of this nature. No, the Bible says, the water overflowed its banks. This was not a little shallow place. And in fact, when you read it, verse 17 says, is that when the priests that bear the ark went into to Jordan, they were on dry ground. It was no different than it was when the Lord parted the Red Sea. The people walked over on dry ground. It wasn't a matter of they walked through a marshy area, they walked through this or that. You know, it happened to be low tide or this. It was overflowing its banks. Take it for what it says. And also when we see this, is that when the water was parted, the water pushed back some 18 miles. When you go and you study and you look, is that how far it pushed back all the way to Adam, to that place. It was some 18 miles that it was pushed back. The Lord just didn't do something small. Amen. He pushed it back. Stood it up. Stopped it from flowing. And you know, the thing is that the people had to see this. Now I will tell you this, is that the hairs on the back of your neck had to stand up, seeing that water just stand up. Something you had never seen before. And you know, there's a lot of things that God, when He calls us to take a step of faith, we're going to see things that we've never seen before. He's going to break down so many barriers. You know, to them, that rushing mighty water was a big barrier. We need to go from point A to point B. How do we get over there? We don't have enough boats to move us all across. We don't have enough equipment. We can't build a bridge. We can't call out the Army Corps of Engineers and get them to build us a bridge to get across. We're going to walk across. And no harm is going to come to us. And that's what they were being told, is that all the barriers to get to the other side. And think about this. What was on the other side were the blessings. Oftentimes we don't receive the blessings of God is because we don't take a step of faith to get to the other side. But all the blessings were going to be there on the other side of the River Jordan. And think about what if they had said, we can't get to the other side because this water is just too treacherous. We have women, we have children, we've got animals, we're not going to be able to make it across. By the way, we're not warriors. The Lord has called us to go and take the land. We're not warriors. The people on the other side of Jordan, they're going to kill us. Even if we are successful in crossing the river, they're going to kill us. And think about what ended up happening when those 10 spies came back. Remember what they said? This is when Moses had sent out the 12 spies. 10 came back and said, the land floweth with milk and honey. Look at the grapes. Look at the pomegranates. Look at all the things. Yes, it is a great place that God is going to give us. But there's those giants. Those giants, we can't get through here. We can't go up against them. We're not strong enough. You know, when the Israelites came to the Red Sea, they had the Red Sea in front of them, and they had the Egyptian army barreling down behind them. They were really between a rock and a hard place. And they were very concerned. In fact, they just started, because they could not understand and they could not see what God was going to do. They started to really get on to Moses. What have you done to us? In fact, when you go back and read in Exodus 14, verse 10 says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses responded with this, verse 13 of that text. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more, forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and He shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Now, one thing that was different about this group of people, these Israelites, than what it was there with the Egyptians, they didn't say, we're not going to be able to make it. They could have, but they didn't. They didn't say, Joshua, you don't know what you're talking about. You're asking us to go here. They didn't say that. So they were willing to take a step of faith. Now, maybe they had learned from their parents, if the Lord leads you to take a step of faith, you better go do it. Because here can be the consequences. You can walk 40 years and die having nothing, having not received the blessings of God because you were unwilling to go forward. Don't be like us. If Joshua is leading you, if Moses is leading you, follow these men because God is leading them. So they didn't make an excuse. They had learned. And you know, that's one of the things I think we ought to learn. As our parents have told us, learn what it means to take a step of faith. Learn what it means to follow the Lord. Don't be questioning God. Now again, the Lord does tell us to try the spirits to see if it's in keeping with God's Word and God's will. That's not taking blind faith. I would never ask you to follow me to do something that you hadn't looked in God's Word and say, yep, that's in keeping with God's Word. I would never ask you to do that. I would never ask you to do that. At least I pray I never would. It has to be, it's in keeping with God's will. That's not taking a blind step. That's not just saying, well, Pastor, whatever you say is good with me. No! You got a mind of your own. Think, pray! Let the Lord lead! That's why it's so important for a congregation to be as one. That we're all praying about the same thing. That we're all stepping out in faith as one, as a body of Christ. As one, that we are praying about a situation, praying about a matter. You know, we've been working on trying to get in our own building for several years now. But you know what? God has done it every step of the way. He has been there every step of the way. Every barrier that came up, He broke it down. But we had to stay true to Him. We had to stay faithful to Him. And it's going to be the same thing as we start building the building. We have to stay true to Him and faithful to Him because of the fact He is the one that's leading the way. He is the one that is showing us the way. These people were willing to take that step of faith. And so what did God do? He created an invisible dam in the water. And the lake was formed reaching, again, some 18 miles upstream, all the way back to Adam, the cities of Adam and Zaratan, even spilling into the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea. The water just kept pushing back and holding up. And so one of the things we need to be reminded here, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of lost individuals that have never taken a step of faith to trust in Jesus because they can't believe Jesus can save them. I will tell you right now, there's not one sin that you have that God can't forgive. Now, except one, and it's called the sin of unbelief. But I'm going to talk about that one. There's not one sin that you have ever committed that God cannot forgive. There's not one sin. Praise God for that. Go back and study the testimony of Paul the Apostle. His name was Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus said, look what I did. I hunted down Christians. I hunted down churches. I threw people in jail. And I gleefully, with great zealousness, did that. I demanded and asked for letters to be able to go do that. I hauled people into punishment because they followed the way, meaning the way of Jesus Christ. He said, I did all of these things against God. And I will tell you that as a child of God, I have to believe that really weighed on him heavily. But he said, you know what ended up happening when I met Jesus on the road to Damascus? Jesus forgave every one of my sins. He forgave all of them. But I had to trust in him. I had to take a step of faith in him. That there was nothing that was too bad that he could not forgive. Doesn't mean we don't have consequences with sin that we do. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we take a step of faith in Jesus. He said, I came, I gave my life for you that you might live. I willingly laid it down so that you might live for all of eternity. if you will take a step of faith and trust in me. That's why he says, the scripture says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why? Because he doesn't want you to be left undone. He doesn't want you to spend all of eternity in a devil's hell. He wants you to take a step of faith in him. Yes, if there's what's called repentance. Yes, I realize I can't do it on my own. I ask the Lord to forgive me of my sin. I will tell you, the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, he asked the Lord to forgive him. He repented of his sin. And what ended up happening as a result of him repenting of his sin and turning to Jesus, the only one who could save him, he called out to him and says, Lord, what would you have me to do? He trusted that he was the Lord. He was the Savior. And as a result, because of his step of faith in Jesus, he was saved. And he became a what? A great missionary. Because of the fact that he was continually willing to take a step of faith in the Lord. Is the Lord going to call us to be, all of us to be missionaries like Paul was? Well, maybe not to the same degree, but I will tell you, he'll call every child of God to be a missionary. To go into your own respective areas of where you live, the people you associate with. Yes, we're all missionaries. And we can, that's why Paul said, follow me. What he's saying is, follow me because Jesus said, come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. We follow Jesus. Paul followed Jesus. And he says, as I follow Jesus, follow me. In other words, I've shown you the way to become fishers of men. If we trust and we take that step of faith to trust in Jesus Christ. But I will tell you this, that this is not the end of their step. Their step did not end in just stepping into the water. Because when you continue reading, when you continue reading and studying here in this passage, and over the next few chapters, you will find in chapter 4, so they came up, what did they do? One of the things is, and I will just summarize what ended up happening. Joshua had already picked 12 men, one man from every tribe. And he told them, he says, now when you go through this river, when you go to the riverbed, is that you're going to find that there's going to be some large stones. Some very large stones there. Now Joshua could no more see that there were stones there, but he knew there were going to be stones there, right? In any body of water, there's going to be great stones in the middle. He says, I want 12 men, one from every tribe, to bolster one of those stones up on his shoulder. In other words, I don't want no little rock. I want a stone. And he said, I want you to carry that stone to the other side of the river. And then what I want you to do is we're going to carry it to the other side, and then we're going to set it up as a memorial. We're going to set it up as a memorial on the other side. And the reason for setting it up as a memorial on the other side is that every time your children and your grandchildren come along and they see this stack of stones standing out there, and they ask, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, what do these stones represent? You will tell them that it was God Almighty that opened these waters and brought us through on the other side, and not one person, not one animal, not one being perished. And God moved that water back. God dried the ground, and we were able to walk on the other side. Every time your children ask you, every time your grandchildren and their children keep asking, you remind them, this is what God did. And it was only, this memorial could have only been set up because we had a step of faith. If they had not been willing to go through, if they had not been willing to, if those priests had said, not me, I'm not stepping in that water, there would have been no memorial. No memorial would have been set up. If you also read there, you'll find that the priests, the ones that weren't carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they were also told to take 12 stones, and they stood them up in the water, meaning in the dry ground. And that was a memorial as well, even though they couldn't see it. When the waters came back down, they were still there, that memorial. But the point was that memorial was to be set up. And it was to be reminded. Now, we look at the Scriptures today. We look at taking a step of faith. What do we have to work with today to see about taking a step of faith? I will tell you right now, you want to find out about taking a step of faith? Read Hebrews chapter 11. That's really called the Hall of Faith. Read Hebrews chapter 11. Read it over and over again. People that were willing, even to the point that they gave their lives for the cause of Christ. They were willing to take a step of faith because they knew that what was on the other side was a home in heaven. That's why it says they were sojourners. They were in a wilderness. They were walking as pilgrims in this land. Hebrews chapter 11 shows us people that were willing to take steps of faith, and as a result, they were rewarded with a home in heaven. They were rewarded with things of God and being with God. But you know, one of the things that also you and I in our own respective lives, you and I need to take steps of faith so that we have our own memorials. They had their own memorial. They stood up these stones. But you know what ought to be in our own lives with our own children, our own grandchildren? Is that there ought to be things in our life that we can point back to, and our children ask us, what happened in your life? And you say, you know, here's what God did for me. Here's what God led me. Here's what God did for our church. Here's how God led us. And as a result, look at the results. You know, that's why I keep telling us, even in building this building, you and I had better never ever take credit for what God is doing. You and I had better never ever take credit. It always ought to be, when that building goes up, the Lord did that. It has to be a day of Gideon. That's why Gideon, when he went into battle, he started out with several tens of thousands of men. Then it got down to 10,000, and the Lord says, you still got too many. Most of them went home. At the end of the day, he had 300. 300 men. A valley full of soldiers. And in fact, they were so told, keep your swords on your side. All I want you to have is pottery and a torch. That's it. You get around the sides, you break the pottery, you raise the torch, and basically is the day of the Lord. And it says that they felt they were all surrounded, all of the soldiers down in that valley. And they thought that they were being overrun, and it says, and God discomfited them, and they killed themselves. And then the rest of the Israelites went after them. The point was, the Lord says, so that it can never be said that you had the victory. I gave you the victory. But it was because they were willing to take a step of faith. And as a result, we're going to finish in verse 1 of chapter 5. As a result, and it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites which were on the side of Jordan westward and all the kings of the Canaanites which were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. I will tell you, when we are willing to take a step of faith, God can bless, God can provide, and God will give the victory. But don't ever forget that it was God. Set the memorials up that the Lord brought us across. The Lord gave us the victory. And I will tell you that one of the greatest victories that you and I will ever have in our lives is when we trust in Jesus to save us. You know, I will tell you this is that, and I enjoy telling people when I came to know Christ as Savior, at the age of 11, the Lord convicted me of that need of salvation. I realized that without Jesus, I was going to die. If I died in my unbelief, I was going to die and go to hell. I realized that. I understood it. On that day, I trusted in Jesus. And you know what happened on that day? I got a memorial in my life. It's called my testimony. And anytime anyone ever asks me, are you a child of God? I can say, praise Jesus. Not because of anything I did, but because of everything that Jesus did. I can show him the memorial stones in his word. Jesus came, died on the cross of Calvary, rose from the grave just as he said he would, and he saved me. If you've never trusted in Christ, he can save you, but you've got to be willing to take that step of faith in Jesus. But as a child of God, if our lives are to grow for the Lord, if our lives are to move forward in the Lord, we have to be willing to take steps of faith. Again, not blind faith, but steps of faith based on the teachings of God's Word and His Spirit leadership. Maybe you've been holding back. Maybe you haven't been having any blessings in your life. Maybe you've been looking and saying, I can't step in that water because I'm going to drown. Maybe it's time to say, you know what? If the Lord has led me to the edge of that water and He's done it, I'm going to step in that water because here's what's going to happen. He's going to remove the water and I'm going to walk over on dry ground. Have you been letting you stand in your way of your faith? If you have, it's time to get things right with the Lord today and walk in His faith. Let us stand as our musicians come for hymn of invitation. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study this morning, Lord, we thank You so much for Your Word and what it's taught us. Lord, I pray that we will learn to rely more on Your Word and to study it, to see Your Word, how alive it is. People that took steps of faith, that we can pattern our lives after them because they patterned their lives after Jesus Christ. Lord, You know the hearts of each one here, and I pray if there's one that needs salvation, that today would be the day that they would trust in Your Son. And maybe there's other decisions that need to be made here today. They would be obedient and stepping out in faith. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.